Hey everybody, this is Chad. Before we start the show, just wanted to remind everybody that the Patreon is up and running. It is absolutely free. You can subscribe for nothing. There are going to be free things for you on there. There will also be options to purchase if you want. This is a buyer-friendly Patreon. We hope you enjoy it. We just want to put some extra stuff out there for you. And I'll be honest with you, I can't speak for Cy here or Justin, but I wouldn't mind making a little scratch off of it. Okay.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey everybody, this is Chad Daniels and you have landed in the middle of somewhere. Hello! Thank you for joining us. Thanks for coming back. Do I sound like I have blue sky energy? Because if I do, I'm faking it. This place sucks my nuts. It is 44 degrees and it's almost May and it's raining and it's so awesome. And I just can't even believe it. But that's okay because across from me is he's smiling already and his name, you know it, you love it. It's Cy Amundson.
Hello, everybody. Coming to you live from Ohio, where it is 72 degrees and sunshiny, and I am in a great place. Well, I'm not in a great place, but I'm not, Chad, in a bad place. Before I came down here, I was on down here to record, down into the bottom of my
home. To your basement. The bottom of your home, sure.
The cave where Jenna keeps me. I was on the Instagram. I went on to the Instagram, and lots of messages from our people with a similar thread. And there is apparently a country music superstar by the name of Luke Combs, like Combs
right.
Your hair. I don't know anything about him. He does sound like a doll that a dermatologist would use to talk to children. Like, this is Luke Combs, and he washes his hair, like shit like that. Like Tina eczema, you know?
Yeah, I go to a barber. His shop is called Luke Combs.
Sure.
It's just country music memorabilia, and he's very good.
He named his tour the Middle of Somewhere Tour. And he does have 4.2 million followers, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend that Middle of Somewhere is some unique, like, are we the smartest people in the world for taking a common thing and removing the word nowhere and putting somewhere in there? For sure not.
No, we're not. We're not smart for doing that. We're not smart because we didn't realize that when you're touring live dates, 14% of openers won't be able to say somewhere. They say nowhere, because it is a very common term, middle of nowhere. And then the crowd will go, it's somewhere. And then I go, well, it's nice that everybody's agitated now. This is the perfect place to start comedy.
Let's just gut the opener for making that mistake. Just the whole crowd revolts. We also, we have advertisers who choose to give us money and then they're like, they make it / nowhere. And we just fucking go with it. We don't just...
Yeah, you have to.
Give us that sweet cash, baby. We don't, whatever you want. Our keyword could be, you know, / buttfuck. And you and I are reading that with the exact same zest as if they had properly.
Absolutely.
100%.
Absolutely. And since our podcast network never listens to a show, I'm happy to tell you we've made exactly $0 from every single fucking ad we've ever done.
And is part of that one of our faults? For not turning in his W-9? Jenna thinks so, yeah. Absolutely. But
so does Chad. But we just leave it alone. We don't talk about it. We just sit here and we just wait.
This show has a deep, rich history of financial issues that scapes current host members and significant others and former producers. We are at some point you could do some sort of documentary style podcast on how we've handled our finances as a group.
Write me a check, Guac Dog.
So Luke Combs launches a tour, middle of somewhere. And of course I'm jealous because he puts out this video with his big fucking country head and his cool voice like, hey, y'all, we coming everywhere, Luke Combs. And he does the whole thing where he's like, I know prices are going up, but I tell you what, this is what I can do. Every Luke Combs ticket is going to be the same price it was before the pandemic as it is during the now times. And I'm very jealous, you know. He's using our thing, and I'm jealous. And then also...
If he's going everywhere, how about the middle of everywhere
How about
tour?
The middle of everywhere,
Lucas?
Luke, why don't you brush that fucking hair and go everywhere and call it the middle of everywhere? I very much agree with that sentiment. I will tell you, I am going to give him a shot. I don't listen... Before I dislike him, I'm going to listen to his music. But from a first glance, can I tell you, I don't know if it's going to be a marriage or not, because he falls into what I refer to as baseball cap country.
And okay. Is this similar to bicep country? I believe it is.
You might use the term bicep country. Well, let me tell it to you and you see if it falls. Obviously, bro country, that's the other, like, yeah, I took her out on a truck, like that shit, it's all, like, it's half rap, sure. Half, you know.
Yep.
But some point after the late 80s through mid-90s of, like, honky-tonk, and every country musician wore a baseball cap, a cowboy hat. You know, Alan Jackson is slalom skiing and jean shorts and a cowboy hat, like way down yonder on the Chattahoochee. And to this day, the line, it gets hotter than a hoochie coochie. Like, I should get to say whatever I want in any setting on any. If you're just going to rip hotter than a hoochie coochie on radio stations all over the country, I should be able to say anything for as long as I live. And so...
Yeah, because there have been DJs that have been canceled on radio for going, wah, 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 pussy, pussy, wah.
Yeah.
And he's just like, it's hotter than a hoochie-coochie. That what means pussy.
And I'm sure somebody will be like, come on now, hoochie-coochie, that's what we call a crawdad shell. You're like, well, that also sounds like a woman's vagina. So how many ways are we going to fucking slice this before we just be honest about what Alan Jackson was singing about? Somewhere post 90s, as we got into the 2000s, all country musicians were like, we don't wear cowboy hats none more. We wear baseball caps and flannels. And there is one man in that era who I have continued to be a giant fan, Eric Church. I love Eric Church. Sure. I'm a big Eric Church guy, but I need some, you know, some Mark Chestnut going through the big D. Don't mean dial. Like, I wanna rip some honky tonkin', drinking bone, fucking bullshit. And so I'll give Luke Combs a try. But I tell you, if he's one of these, like, she had a butterfly tattoo, she wouldn't even glance at you. Like, if it's that shit, we're gonna have an enemy. I don't want to have an enemy. I probably want to have an enemy. I think I thrive having enemies.
I think you do want to have an enemy. You know, Eric Church, the guy that you like, he canceled shows during the Final Four because he's a University of North Carolina fan.
Love it.
Then he decided he's putting on a free show for the people that didn't get to go to those shows in a 6,000-seat amphitheater for 24,000 tickets sold.
Yeah.
So that should be fun down there. 6,000 seat theater for 24,000 people. Proving once again, and nobody take this harsh, but country musicians, math ain't their strong suit.
I tell you, all that's that, fine. All I'm hearing you say is I'm going to walk into a building there that's hotter than a hoochie coochie. So Luke Combs is a baseball hat guy, and we'll see how I feel about him. And I'm also just, I'm social media sucks, right? That's a fair.
I mean, oh, yes, I'm 100 million percent behind that.
And I'm very aware of its suckiness. Oh, my Twitter got hacked.
It did?
Yeah, somebody. On the day somebody bought, or excuse me, not somebody, Elon Musk bought Twitter, somebody stole my thing and changed it to an Elon Musk account since I have a blue check mark. And they just started like putting out crypto tweets and trying to scam people. And that was like a week ago, and I haven't gotten it back. I'm not sure how you get a Twitter account back. I'm not sure I need it back. I haven't made a lot of effort. So somebody is running my professional stand-up Twitter account as an Elon Musk account right now. But
I love that you think this is funny, but I dumped 20 grand into the advice of your fucking Twitter account. Why are you laughing, you piece of shit? Have a harder passcode than I love Eric Church, you butt fuck. Of course you got hacked.
It was actually, my password was watermelon crawl. That's a joke for us from before the show.
I hate it, every bit of it.
Twitter is, I always tell people, because, you know, we have our industry, let's call it, is on Twitter. Do you ever run into people who are kind of worked up about what's going on Twitter? And you're like, come on, man. What everybody should do when they're worked up about Twitter is you should make a list of the most emotionally healthy people you know in your life. And then go through them and see how many of them have Twitter. And then if they do, see how many of them are commenting on other people's shit. It's there's a pretty strong anti-correlation there.
Yeah, I can't be part of it. And here's the problem. It's like in this business, you have to be visible on social media and you have to get involved in other people's stuff so you're visible to new eyeballs.
Yeah.
And I just can't do it because I do remember a time, and this is going to make me sound very old, where it's like, back in my day, but it's true, where you would just like be funny and you would tour a lot. And then that's how things happen. And then maybe you'd get on television. And now you can go on, you know, Instagram and just be like, smash my like button and subscribe. And it's way too much. I don't have any of the energy to do that. If someone that looks like me says, please subscribe and don't forget to smash that like button, I would get fucking arrested. So there's no way I'm going to do that stuff. So it is tough. And I know I'm supposed to like flow like water and just try to learn the new ways, but I just don't care enough about it.
No, fuck that shit. Also, that whole, we've all been told that by managers and other communities, like, oh, you just got to comment on other people's stuff and then you get into the algorithm. You're like, well, or I could chop my dick off and throw it in the ocean. What the fuck, like, what am I doing? Is that worth it to me? No, I'll just disappear. The worst, though, dude, the worst is these human beings. I'm sure I've bitched about this on the show before, but let's go into Sy's old man corner here for a second.
Sy's old man corner.
These fucking human beings pretending to be brands on Twitter, like, just in general, I hate that. Like, I have to pretend like Krispy Kreme is a guy now, where he's talking as if he's an Krispy Kreme's Twitter account talks as if it's an existing being. You're like, no, you're a donut company. You don't talk from first person and interact and comment. It's insane.
Right. I have to pretend Krispy Kreme is a person and Hoochie Coochie isn't a pussy. What does the world expect of us? That's my main question. Is like, I'm sitting here trying to mind my own fucking business, not commenting on everything, and now I got to pretend a bunch of stuff too? Come on.
Worst of the worst is, and you know, why not bring race into this? These fucking... These, like, late 20s to mid 30s white kids who got a degree in social media and are now running these accounts talking, using other, like, black culture slang. And I'm not saying there's no black people in America running social media accounts. Clearly that there are. But I'm saying multiple things are that can be true. And also, there are a lot of fucking mid-30s white kids, and I am saying kids very intentionally, kids running these accounts to, like, Rice running like the Rice Krispies shit, like, you hungry this morning, yo? Come get some shit that snap, crackle, and pop. You're like, and then I've got to watch Bisquick comment on there, like, what about them pancakes, though? Them pancakes is fire. You're like, Lucy, I don't think you should talk like that, even if you are Bisquick. And then it's just this back and forth of all these, I don't know, I can only watch Log Cabin Syrup on Twitter be like, don't forget the slipper slips. You're like, what the fuck does that even mean? It's dry. Like, why are you talking like 14-year-olds? Why? I don't know why I give a shit, but I just...
You clearly do because you just had pulled the skin under your eyeballs way down by your mouth, and I could see your, like, your under your cheeks.
I hate it. I hate it so much. I don't know. That leprechaun is fire, bro. You're like, okay, you're just Lucky Charms. You don't have to, no one needs to tell me how dank the marshmallows are. Just, it feels inappropriate and fucking dumb. And I haven't met a lot of, like, I've met a few people in the social, who work in social media that I'm like, oh, you're a cool person. And then I've met other people that I'm like, I don't know that I think we should be on the same planet together.
Yeah, it's when my mom tries to sound cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, you're past that. You don't need to you can just talk to me like you're you, and I will understand it. But what happens in social media is that they are told that they need to kind of open the eyes of younger people even than them. So they're trying to add some coolness, because eventually these young people are going to have money to buy their own shit, or they can go, Mom, I said I wanted Lucky Charm. They
Mom, can use that voice. The marshmallows are dank and the leprechaun is fire.
Yes, exactly.
I think you just solved what I hate so much about it. When your mom or your dad or somebody who's older is trying to, and not even somebody when a 58-year-old man walks in like Air Jordans, like vintage Air Jordans, like, come on, Jeff, we all like Jordans, but this is a graduation open house. Fucking put on some low top sneakers like a regular. There's just something disingenuous about an old person trying too hard to be young. But when Jeff does that or your mom does that, like, we see it and we can. But I think the thing I hate about social media is it's a lie. Like, we don't get to make fun of the 38-year-old named Christy who wrote, oh, them pancakes is thick though. Like, we don't get to make fun of her, right? And I think that's what I don't like. I want to be able to go, Christy, I don't think you should talk like that.
Yeah, there should be, you know, like, up in the corner of the news where you can't see the person reporting, but they're reporting from, like, a sat phone or something?
Sure.
And so it'll say Christy with her picture up in the corner. And then it's like, oh, you're not going to believe it. We are here at the Bisquick factory. And it is true. These pancakes are thick dough. So I would love to be able to put a picture with whoever's doing it. So then we can go, well, fuck you for talking like that. You're too old to say that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I think that's your whole point, is you want to be able to blame the individual and not just go, fuck you, Bisquick. You want to say, fuck you, Christy.
And I think to a larger point, and I know this is something you and I both agree about, but Everybody talks.
Well, let's wait until you say it before.
I promise you we are going to be I'm going to say something and you're going to agree with it so much you might even add to it.
Okay.
Everybody is social media is ruining the world and all these comment threads are so awful and ruining the world. None of those things are the problem. This technology is amazing. We don't have any rules. There are no rules and there are no consequences. So like what you're pitching there is a rule for the Christies. And I've always thought for YouTube, it should be legal and required. Like if you want to have an account where you can comment on YouTube or any other, like you read a news article and you go to the bottom of it and you're like, the news article's about a marathon and three comments in, you're arguing about the KKK, like how every news article on Earth works. You're like, hey, come read this article about the best lasagna in town. And, you know, five comments in, it's a really heavy pro-life versus pro-choice discussion.
Yes.
I think if you want to comment on something, YouTube, articles, you have to get an account to do that, obviously. But you agree, you know, the long iTunes, like, agree to this, click thing. You read one of those, and one of the pieces of becoming a commenter in our society is everyone else who's a commenter gets to, or even maybe it's not even a commenter, it's everyone in society, once a year, they get to identify someone and challenge them to a fight, and that person doesn't get to turn it down. That's the risk. If you want to go on and be someone who comments, great. Now, there is, we could have a review board for, like, you know, you didn't get to challenge this person. They were just being nice, and you're just trying to fight someone. But if you are adversarial commenting, and somebody challenges you to a fight, you have to accept it. You have to fight that person. And I think that is a what we in the business call a game changer.
I like this in theory. I've always railed against anonymity on the internet. Because that's what makes people think they can say whatever they want. I mean, everyone has talked about this, but I am on this, in this camp, is when everything changed, it was like teachers could no longer touch children in class. You couldn't.
Do you want to be a little clearer on what you mean by that? I know what you mean, but.
I mean, well, yeah, not like fucking finger them. I'm saying because you could never do that. Yeah. You never do that unless it was a private Catholic school.
I was just going to say, there are places that they were allowing that.
I'm talking public schools.
You can't rack a kid up anymore.
Yeah, which is crazy because a student can throw a chair at a teacher and the teacher has to sit there and fucking take it. That's absolutely insane to me. Same with anonymity on the internet. It's like, you know why I, in fourth grade, didn't tell a sixth grader on the bus to suck my dick? Because he would have punched me right in the face. And so I do think that you shouldn't get anonymity. If you're going to say some shit about someone's family or whatever it is,
yeah,
that person, your stuff should be visible.
Right.
Because that sixth grader knew where I lived because we had the same bus stop. And that's why I didn't say suck my dick. I said, okay. I mean, because he knew where I lived. He'd beat the shit out of me.
My brother Jess grew up in a time when you could still rack kids up in school. And he loved to tell this story that will forever stick out in my brain. And it's not even a story. It was just an antidote. Antidote? Anecdote.
There you go.
Because antidote is like, I have the poison in me. Anecdote. Anecdote.
Mm-hmm. Yep, with a C.
Hello, my name is Luke Combs, and this next song is called The Anecdote. They had a teacher who, he actually was his name was Mr. Zelke, and it's a great name. His first name was Cal. Cal Zelke.
Oh, hell yeah.
Great name. And they are Nancy Zelke, his wife, really close friends with my grandma, Jessica Zelke, their daughter. I don't know why I'm giving names here, like I'm... You know,
why don't you give addresses? Did they say something shitty on the internet? Oh my God, you're really taking this seriously.
Well, I just think it's interesting. They were a really, really great family, and they're family friends of ours. They're wonderful people.
Okay.
But Jess Zelke was like one of the teachers who would really rack you up. But they also called him Pooh Bear because he looked like Pooh Bear. And
Well, that makes sense.
Winnie the Pooh. I love the idea. If nothing else, the fact that teachers can't be violent anymore. Never again will high school students have I believe he was a shop teacher, but I'm not sure. But never again will they have a teacher that basically is known as Pooh Bear that you don't fuck with. Like, that's...
Right.
You say Pooh Bear, but you say, like, here comes Pooh Bear. Like, you don't...
Yeah.
You're not like, hey, fuck you, Pooh Bear, because he's about to ruin your shit.
Hey, who'd you get racked up by in shop class? Oh, it's the teacher without the pants. They call him Pooh Bear because he never wears pants. So his dick was on my knee when he racked me up on the wall there. It's not kind of uncomfortable.
Just a shop teacher that permanently has his hand stuck in a honey jar.
I had to do naked push-ups one time after gym class.
What do you mean, as I know? Have you told that story on here before?
I think so, yeah. It was like you're doing push-ups naked, and you can just feel, you know, you have to go chest to the ground. Well, that doesn't work when you have a dick and no pants on. So it, like, your dick mushes up as your chest is going, and it was like... It wasn't a great feeling, but also, and people are like, that's disgusting, that teacher should have been sued, and I disagree. I absolutely had it coming.
Sure.
Without question.
I'm not the greatest listener, we've established that.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I've, in our podcast or real life, I don't know that I recall a teacher forcing you to take all your clothes off and do push-ups.
My clothes were already off.
Okay.
Because I was in the I was in the shower, and he was like, "Get the fuck out here right now."
That's a way better story.
Push-ups.
Way better.
Yeah.
Way.
Yeah.
He wasn't like, Chad, you talk back one more time, you're taking off those gym shorts and those undies, and you're giving me 10.
He just deals cards, and he goes, "What do you have? A 2? I have a 7. Panties off, bitch. Push-ups." So, we also had a guy named Mr. Mittberg, who, if you talked in his class, you would have to suck on a pacifier the rest of the class. Those are kinds of things that I really think that you should still be able to do.
That's so great and humiliating.
But parents will never allow it because they're like, my son, you know, they're the same fucking people that go, why am I getting kicked out of the comedy club? I was just laughing. And it's like, laughing doesn't have words, bitch. You were talking, so please stop. It's the whole, everyone always has an excuse for everything. It's a real bummer, because I do think you should be able to punish students in school.
It was interesting because my parents were teachers, and my grandma and great aunt Dorothy were teachers. So I come from all these teachers. So I think I had this understanding that teachers were just human beings who they don't like us. They want to teach. There was a teacher, Mr. Ulrich, in junior high. Everybody called him Mr. Ballich because whenever he'd come to your table, like, just height-wise, seemed like his nutsack was really getting the corner of the table while he was talking to you.
Yeah.
And people
was he scratching it? Like, rubbing into it?
Yeah. That's where the nickname came from.
Oh, hell yeah. But yeah, I bet.
Good teacher. But everybody would go hard at all these teachers. And the only time, you know... The only time I ever had any issue with any teacher was when I thought they were bad at their job. So there was a teacher when I was in high school, and nice lady, her son was this incredible kid, really good guy. So, I mean, I'm not saying you're a bad person, but she got her job, and then a bunch of teachers retired, and she became the head of the department. And there was a teacher underneath her that was the best teacher. It was the math department. And his name was Mr. Kroger. Mr. Kroger.
Okay.
And this guy,
sure.
I don't know what his fucking damage was, but he taught, you know that.
Probably that his son was the lead singer of Nickelback and he was taking a bunch of shit for it. Like, oh, God.
Do you remember those commercials that there was that one actor who the only thing he ever plays, he was in Saving Silverman, and he's in a bunch of commercials as a general. The only thing he ever really plays is an old army general that just screams.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know if Mr. Kroger, when he wasn't at school, just sat and watched pieces of entertainment that but he was so intense. He would like jump up on a desk, and when he's like teaching you math, when he'd go like, "Do you think you do it this way?" And then he'd just go, "No, that's foobar." And which, you know, is army term for fucked up beyond all repair, I think. Is that foobar?
I think, yeah, all repair, all reality, something like that.
So he just taught in this insane, intense way, and he taught all the lower level classes, but everybody walked out of there like, we know math now. And then I was up in the upper level classes, and she would give you a practice test, and then the test was the exact same, but the variables were different, like the same wording, the same question. So, and you could use your notes. So if you spent a half hour writing down, like physically copying the practice test in your notes, you'd get 100%. And
yeah,
I think Lazy Sai appreciated that, but those were the only teachers where in my brain I was like, nah, fuck you for this shit. You're fucking in charge of people. Get the fuck out of here. Mr. Kroger, you see this foobar shit, man? Come jump on a desk. Fix this class.
We had a guy named Mr. Christofferson. He was a history teacher. And he would do this thing called the flag dance if you got a 100% quiz or test.
I love it.
And it was, he would have a little flag in each hand, and it was almost like a cheerleading routine, but he would also get up on the desk and walk across the desk while he was doing the flag dance. And so you think to yourself, because I asked him once after class, I got 100% on a thing, and I go, let me ask you something. I go, why do you do this? Does it make you like feel cool that someone got 100% in your class? And he goes, no. He goes, be honest with me. Why did you study for this quiz? And I go, to make an adult look like a jackass. And he goes, yep, I don't care. He goes, I will look like a jackass for all of you. If you want to study enough to make me look like a jackass, fine with me because you're studying. And I was like, you Mr. Miyagi motherfucker. Yeah. I can't believe it. I'm like blocking kicks and I thought I was just sanding the floor. That was unbelievable, man. Teachers are real rad when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Yeah, here comes Sai saying something he thinks is important and will come off as condescending or divisive. We sure got a war on teachers. We have for a long time, primary education and upper education. They have sure become villains. And, you know, some of them sure are, like that lady with that bullshit test thing.
Yeah, and the ones that hump.
Yeah, yeah, the ones that give kids rides home in their pickup and then they get arrested in South Dakota a few years later.
So I'm going to tell you something, and maybe I've said this before, but I would listen to Steve Harvey. I would listen to him do stand-up comedy, be a preacher, and be the host of Family Feud.
Correct.
All day long, every day.
Correct.
Because I think he has that charisma that really gets me in the giggles. And there was a scene where there was this gal and her husband. He goes, who's this, your little brother? And she goes, no, this is my husband. And he goes, oh, well, what do you do for a living? She goes, I'm a teacher. And he goes, where'd you meet your husband? She goes, well, he was a student when I started teaching. And dude, Steve Harvey, if you go Google this thing, it's so great because Steve Harvey, without saying anything, had me on the ground laughing. Just the way his eyeballs were moving. It was so fucking funny. And it's like, I understand this guy was out of school when they got married, but who knows what was going on?
No,
I mean,
there's
like a crush there at least.
Yeah.
Even if you waited, there's a crush.
I promise you, all around this country, there are relationships like that of people who he or she was a 24 or like anywhere from 22 to 27 year old teacher, and they were a student. And then, you know, 10 years later when he's 37, you see him at like the grocery store, like, you guys got married? And they're like, yeah, we reconnected about, you know, 5 years ago. We ran into each other in a bar. And you're like, is that after you guys ran into each other? Well, I think there's a lot of people who something happens when they're in high school and then they hide it for a long time and then come up with some fake meet cute, or like, he was of age. He was of age when we met, and I definitely, there would nobody railed me like 3 days before graduation.
Yeah, you're like, listen, we all remember how red Jennifer's face got when you said slide trombone, Mr. Johnson. So we do know that that's when the love connection happened. Please don't pretend like it was 14 years later. And you adopted these kids that look like both of you? You've had them in hiding for 7 years.
You adopted them from your sister? Where they were being kept after you gave birth to them when you took those two sabbaticals? Totally. Speaking of sabbaticals.
Hold on. I have to tell you one thing. I love the fact that neither of us had teacher on our list today, and we just went with it.
Well, I got to tell you one thing that was on one of our lists.
Okay.
Jenna, my sister Emily, had a birthday. And it
was. Okay, so this was on your list. Okay, it was on your list.
And she, it was one of the important birthdays. It's a round number. I'm not going to say my sister's age.
Exactly, 50, yeah.
And so she is going to celebrate. She and her husband and a bunch of her friends, some singles, some couples, they're all going to go to Palm Springs and rent a big house in the desert, stay there for like 5 days. So Jenna's birthday, and I can't go. It's right around the time that I have some commitments. And
I thought you were going to go, and I can't make it because it's right around the time I still don't get on airplanes.
And so I was just skirting around my reasons. And so Jenna's birthday was in March, and so I kind of surprised her with the like, hey, you're going to Palm Springs. So I get her a ticket to go out, and because she loves national parks and hiking. They're going to go to Joshua Tree. It's warm. So she goes out there, and one of her friends meets her out there, and they're in this mansion with all these people. And so they're trying to figure out what to do on like the second night there. And Jenna, and this is a gutsy move, Jenna decides to throw, because she knows Emily and John, and that's it. She knows none of these other dozen people at all. But Jenna, who doesn't like karaoke, takes one look at these humans and goes, I think this is a karaoke group. And her friend Gabby had told her about this great karaoke place out in Palm Springs. And so Jenna throws it out, everybody latches onto it. So they're gonna go to dinner and they're gonna go to karaoke. And everybody's been drinking all day, and then they go out to dinner and everybody's been drinking wine. And then Jenna and John, Emily's husband.
Okay.
They decide to go, like, they're going to go ahead. Well, everybody settles up the bill. They're going to go ahead down the street to the karaoke bar and just kind of get a table, get set up. Now, there is a couple of Hall of Fame decisions that happen in this short window. Jenna goes online for some reason to look at something else about the bar and realizes it's a gay bar. And makes the firm decision to not share that with anyone. Not because she thinks there's going to be any issue. You know, there's not a lot more fun places on earth than a gay bar, but she just...
Right.
That's what a hall of... Like, let's go. Just bring all these...
Yep.
Yeah.
Also, if you are on the fence about doing karaoke, you're not going to do it at a gay bar.
Exactly.
Because at a gay bar karaoke, that's a different level of karaoke.
Yes.
You need to be on the top side of ability to sing karaoke at a gay bar. Otherwise, you're going to look like the biggest shithead in the world, because it is like lights out good.
So they get there, and to your point, there are four people in the bar. A gay couple and a lesbian couple. The bartender and the guy running karaoke. And to your point, the guy running karaoke is unbelievable at karaoke. And so when Emily and John get there, it's just these two couples and the bartender and the karaoke guy taking turns ripping karaoke.
Yeah, and I will say that I believe, and I don't know this to be true, but I believe the thing said most often while purchasing a karaoke machine is, my parents never listened to me sing. And so you get people that are very good and practice very hard to stick it up their parents' ass when it comes to karaoke.
So they walk in and Jenna now has the immediate instinct of like, oops, there's no one here. Everyone's going to feel self-conscious. This was a bad idea. I made a bad choice, right?
Sure.
And John now comes in with the second Hall of Fame decision of the night, because Jenna's like, let's text him. Let's go someplace else. We'll meet him somewhere else. And John goes, you know, let's just see what happens. And
oh, I love a good see what happens.
And that's a hero's move right there. So yep. This gaggling group of middle-aged white ladies storms into this bar, and they don't even notice anybody's there. They're bringing the party. They are ready to go, and none of them are really picking songs. So the karaoke guy is basically like, what's the most mom shit I can find? And then like he'll play something, and then they go nuts. And at this point, the gay couple leaves, so it's just their group and the lesbian couple, and kind of everyone's singing, but nobody's singled out singing. And
okay.
Important piece of information here, the lesbian couple is well into their 70s. And
okay.
One of the women, so this is how I learned this. Jenna, without context, sends me this video of my sister Emily ripping karaoke in the middle of a floor, not on a stage. This is one of those places where you just like meander the bar.
Oh yeah, really work it.
And to Jenna's directorial and cameraman producer abilities, she takes this video of my sister and then she slowly pans over and one of the 70-year-old lesbians is just locked on my sister, standing...
Hell yeah, brother. Hell yeah, brother!
Standing 4 feet away from her, and my sister is singing to her, and I laugh so hard when I get this video, and I was like, yep. What the fuck? And Jenna says that this woman's name was Fuzzy. That's what she went by, just Fuzzy. And all night long, Emily and Fuzzy just kept ripping karaoke to one another. Because my sister doesn't get drunk very often. We've talked about it on the show. I've seen her drunk like twice in my life. Once, blasted out of her mind at Ethan's graduation with an aunt from the other side, Beth, who I was like, if these two come back married, it wouldn't shock me at all. Like, they were out of control. And then once at a comedy show that you and I were both on that she nearly fucking ruined. And so once every 7 or 8 years drunk Emily just back and forth given everything she has with an elderly lesbian, you know, in a karaoke. It's a beautiful video. But the other thing that happens is all of these decisions lead to, and I'm not going to go deep on these details, I just think it's an extra funny thing. So one of the friends with is their couples. They're a couple, and I'm going to say, we'll call them woman A and man B, right? Because I don't, you know. And so they, you know, there's a little tension there and there's a lot of alcohol there. And
sure.
Jenna, she's sitting kind of next to Emily's maid of honor from her wedding. And the man from the couple, man B, he was John's best man. And so somehow, whether somebody suggested they do it or one of them was going to sing and then no one else could do it, so the other one stepped up, something happened where these two are performing Grease, like, tell me more, tell me. They are doing the Grease duet, and I don't know what was happening before, weeks prior, but that lights a fire, and woman A comes around the corner after the song and is just like pointing and flaming and flying, And Jenna has to sit in the middle of this horrible, drunken, emotional couple, like to the point where they finally left. And the rest of the vacation, no one saw them. They went to a casino and came home after everybody was to bed. But I don't have video of that. The only thing, like, I love the video of my sister that I have and Fuzzy. It's It is fantastic. The only way it could get better is if I had video of Jenna sitting in a stool while a couple melts down on each other because they were on each side of her. She was just stuck in the middle of them having this gigantic meltdown. And that, I love that visual so much.
I love a good couple meltdown. Absolutely. You know, I'm not a couple. And so sometimes I melt down just by myself. It's been a long winter. It's been a very long winter, Si. And I told you that I got a chair. You remember that?
I remember the chair thing, yeah.
Told you I got a chair and it didn't come with a power cord. So I called them and I said, I'd like a power cord if that's okay. And they said, yep. So they sent me a power cord and I'd like to, I know that people can't see it, but why don't you describe what you're looking at here? Let me get my headphones off of there. Can you see that? Why don't you describe what's going on there?
So what Chad has going, he has.
Look at this motherfucker. This is fucking crazy.
So he has the adapter box on one side, which has a plug that is looks like an 8 with two prongs in it. So you need an 8-shaped thing. And the thing he has in his other hand that he is supposed to plug into it is a giant pentagon with 3 holes. So nothing about these two things match at all.
This is the craziest thing I've ever seen. I got this thing and I was like, what fucking idiot that didn't have one of those blue and red balls with the yellow shapes as a child sent me this fucking thing that, I mean, if you look, a monkey would pick this up, bang it together twice and put it down and leave. That's how fucking obvious this is. It's like, you know, I'm all for equal employment, but maybe we don't put virgins in a warehouse when they don't know what goes inside of what. Get the fuck out of here. So I call these people and the lady goes, well, it says on my end that it was delivered. And I go, yeah, it was. And then I sent a picture and she goes, oh my God. And I go, I know. I don't want to get anyone fired here, but what the fuck is going on? Listen, here's what happened. So I went on a golf trip. I was drunk for 3 days. Then I was going to take the last night off. But then I got food poisoning the last night. So I was up from 1:30 to 7 a.m. puking. And then the next day, both my flights got delayed. And so I got home about midnight, finally after 2 flights, a long drive from the airport. And I'm like, I'm going to sleep in my chair because I got an alert on email that my cord had been delivered. And I go, I'm going to sleep in this zero gravity chair. It's going to pull my spine apart and my hips apart. And it's going to feel so good. And then I got home and I saw this shit. Oh, God. You want to see a meltdown? I'm missing 3 glasses from my 8 glass set because they went in the sink too hard. So then the next day I got up after sleeping for about 12 hours. And then I saw this and started laughing super hard. I think it was just the moment I got home, I was not into it.
Sure.
But it was very funny when I woke up, just thinking about the person that put this together. And it's like, people are like, there are no jobs. There are fucking plenty of jobs because person has one.
That's one of two things. You either hired the dumbest person in the world or somebody's not happy with the amount of money they're making. And his request to be compensated better has not been received well. And he's like, fuck it. Squares and eights for everybody.
Here's my dream. My dream is that in the warehouse, because we get a lot of messages from people that like stock shelves or, you know, crunch numbers during the day or work in warehouses where they're like, hey, man, I always have the middle of somewhere in my ears when I'm at work. The fact that my dream is that the person that packed this together saw the name on the sheet and was like, you want to see a fucking grown man lose his mind? look at these two chords. And the other guy just goes, yeah, do it, do it. And he fucking taped up the box and put it in the mail. That's what I hope happened.
I love it. I love all of it.
I love it too. You know, last time I sang karaoke at a gay bar, it was in Bloomington, Indiana, at the Limestone Comedy Festival.
Oh, sure.
I sang I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston. I'm going to say to mediocre reviews. And but I just wanted to say I'm going to be back at the Limestone Comedy Festival this year. It's Friday, May 13th. I'm going to be at the Buzzkirk Theater for two shows on May 13th. So if you guys are in the Indiana area, you want to visit beautiful Indiana. If you want to see, if you want to go to a city that doesn't belong in a state, then you could go to Austin, Texas, or you could come to Bloomington, Indiana.
What? Maybe baby should drive up for the day. I guess we'll have to see.
And then one more thing. I know that I'm plugging things at the end. What's not normally
plug,
a reminder. The Patreon is up, so you can subscribe for free. There are free things on there to watch. There are eventually going to be things you can buy if you want, but there's no pressure. There are going to be things from this episode. You know what I think? Can you put the video up of Emily and Fuzzy?
Oh, I can put the video of Emily and Fuzzy up. I'm happy because that would be fantastic. All the attention she deserves.
Absolutely. And whether or not you like it, I'm going to make Justin put all the bullshit that went on before the show. I'm going to make him put that on there.
Sure.
So people know why maybe I have not some blue sky energy. And it's a ton of fun. I mean, you should check it out. Again, it's free. There's no commitments. You can buy whatever you want when there are things to buy, but there's also free shit. So go for the free stuff.
Stay for the pay. That is patreon.com/MOS podcast. That's what it is. It's also yep. In this episode. Hey, I love you. I'll see you soon.
I gotta go.
Come on. It's been a long time since I've tried that. Okay. I'll see you when I
called. didn't go home. Down by the river on a Friday night, a pyramid of cans in the pale moonlight. Talking about cars and dreaming about women. Never had a plan, just a living for the minute. Yeah, went down yonder on the Chattahoochee. You never knew how much that muddy water meant to me. But I learned how to swim and I learned who I was. A lot about living and a little about love. A lot about
if you guys like this, there will be a new episode next Monday and every single Monday at 8 a.m. So click the subscribe button so your phone sends it to you without having to do any work.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit amfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.